Well, good morning. Salama. Howdy. Just contextualizing my greeting. Well, thank you for having us, and thank you, Pastor Daryl. Is it Terry? Terry. Why am I saying Daryl? Oh. But thank you, Pastor Reverend Terry, and for having us, and congratulations on your ordination. And also for the leadership of the church, thank you for having us. Thank you, Charlene. And you have an amazing voice, by the way. I'm sure it was you. Sandy Patty's got nothing on you. but thank you for having us and for allowing us to come and share about our ministry in Madagascar. And you know, the great thing about being here is that you are part of our team in Madagascar. We are not in Madagascar by ourselves. This is the Nazarene team. And so the Trinity Church of the Nazarene, you guys are part of what we are doing. 380 children being helped, 28 churches built. As we are speaking, it's growing. And you guys are a part of that. You guys are part of our team in Madagascar, whether it you are praying for us, or whether it's in world evangelism funding, or whether you are thinking about, and I'm hoping, and as we are speaking, that God is stirring up something in you to say, you know, I want to do more than just praying and giving. I want to kind of go and help the people in Madagascar, or whether it's in Madagascar, in Kenya, or whatever. I hope that God is stirring something in you to say, I want to do something more than just praying and giving financially. So that is our hope this morning. I have a very short little challenge this morning, and Shelley's right. She has the gift of the gab. I don't know what it is, and if my statistics is incorrect, but I think women has been given more words. 60,000, I heard someone say, and men has only been given 10,000. But here's the problem. Is that she uses her 60,000 and my 10,000 as well. So I'm left with nothing. By the way, I forgot to say also thank you in absence to Edna Lochner. We have a resograph machine in our office due to the help of the ministry from Edna Lochner. So in absence, if you guys can convey that, I know she... Is she here? Oh! Praise the Lord. Edna Lochner, thank you. Siyabonga kakhulu. She would understand that. Baye danki. She would understand that lingo. So thank you very much. We are the Church of the Nazarene is growing because of great literature going out, and we can produce because of your ministry. So thank you very much. I salute you. Thank you. God bless you. I've got a very short challenge for you this morning. The Reverend said, by 1:45, you guys are off the stage. So I'm hoping. I don't know about you guys calling him. He's a dictator, this guy. No, I met him very briefly. A wonderful couple, Kim and Terry. You guys better call these people back, please. They are amazing. Good pastors are hard to find these days. The book of 1 Samuel chapter 17, and I just want to, I don't think I even want to read in there too much. Because it's about David and Goliath. I think everybody knows that story. Three big conversations going on. The first one is a conversation going on between David and his brother. As he comes to give food, he sees everybody's scared. And he's trying to find out what's happening. And he hears this big Philistine making a big... just a big noise, and who's this Philistine? He says that, you know, day insults the people of God, and conversation going on between him and his brother. And then he, you know, King Saul hears about what is the commotion of this young man, calls him, and you know that David is saying, I want to take this guy on. Another conversation. Then the conversation that I want to kind of not touch on, not very briefly, is a conversation that is going on, and actually it's a response from David to Goliath, because Goliath is just going. And here's a response in verse 45 of 1 Samuel chapter 17. By the way, I am speaking about God. Somebody said to me this morning, I can't remember if it was my brother right behind Pastor Terry. He's saying, are you going to speak about the Lord this morning? Now, I know he's got a very great sense of humor, but I hope I'm going to satisfy you. He's giving me the stare here, so I'm... Anyways, here's the conversation going on. It says, and David said in verse 45 of 1 Samuel chapter 17, then David said to the Philistine, to Goliath, you come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. And this day, verse 40, 46 says, the Lord will deliver you into my hand and will strike you and take your head from you. Vicious. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all the assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. Praise the Lord. You know why I focus on this? And as we traveled, and as I spoke, God said, but this is exactly what you need to be speaking about. A lady that I met right in the beginning of our travel kind of helped me to highlight this even more. And I'll go very, very briefly and quickly. She said to me, you know, it's a Mennonite lady, so it was new. I wanted to hear what kind of family, how do you raise your family? And she had a 12-year-old daughter. She still got a 12-year-old daughter, by the way. And I said to her, I was in youth ministry for a very long time. So I wanted to speak from my experience and my, expertise. And yeah, I'm saying to this lady, well, you know, very soon you'll be going into, your daughter will be becoming a teenager. She's going to become 13. And I say, paired with that, and I spoke now as, you know, I'm the big guru. I know what's going on. I know how to speak about young people. And I said, oh, you know, very soon you're going to have problems and it's going to be this teenager years, difficult years. She's going to be moody and she's going to use all your money and, you know, and there's guys going to phone her, you know. And I just said to her all the problems. And her response was amazing. Because it helped me to say, but this is exactly what this faith journey is about. She said to me, you know, with all due respect, and Mennonite people are very passive in their response. They're very passive in everything they do. And so her response was very passive, but actually very strong. She said to me, as much as I want to accept that as good, you know, good insight and good input, she said, I cannot live by that standard. Because when you say teenager, it is not even biblical. She said to me, that is not even the way that I want to accept my mindset and my approach. And I'm putting words into her mouth right now. But basically what she was saying is that I don't adhere to the standards of the world. I don't adhere. If somebody says, well, this is a teenager, this is how you need to be, she said, I don't accept that. Because I live by faith and not by sight. I don't live by the standards of this world. In fact, Paul says it another way in Romans chapter 12, 2. He says, do not conform. Do not let the pattern of the world put you and say, this is how you need to live. If you are this age, or if you have this look, or if you're that color, or if you're from this country, this is how you need to be. That's what the world says to us. Stereotypical thinking. Where God comes in, we live outside of the box. In fact, it is called living by faith. I looked at this building and it reminded me a little bit about Noah's Ark. I don't know why. And you know there's a movie out, the very controversial movie of Noah. But the biblical Noah, the guy in the real Noah, lived by faith. I can imagine when God said to him, build an ark, what would people say? You know, this Noah, I'm not sure you're hearing God. Because we build an ark or we build a boat near to the water. Or if there's a rain coming, then we can. If there's a lot of rain in that area, then we start talking. But dry land, no rain, far from the ocean. Come now, Noah, what's going on? And how many times does God speak to us? And the world says to us, you cannot because you're not the right age. You're not from the right country. You don't have the right experience. You're not ordained. How many times did the world put us into a box? And so we accept that and we cannot do those things, that those extraordinary things that God wants us to do. I'm thinking about the story that I just read. And here's a man not fitting into the standards of this world. The brother says to him, you need to be looking after the sheep. That is a box mentality. You cannot be taking on big things. You cannot be living by faith. You cannot be taking on this big Goliath because you need to be, hey, just go home. It's a box world mentality communicated to David. Saul is the same. He's supposed to be this great king. And he says, you know what? This Goliath, he's from the young age, he's been fighting. And you don't have any experience. Don't you be taking on the big things of this world. Don't you be witnessing it. Don't you be going into the school. And don't you be talking to people about God because you are inexperienced. I worked for 13 years with young people. And so what we lived by with NYI is 1 Timothy chapter 4, 12. I think you might have heard this before. He says to Timothy, do not let people put you down because you are young. But set an example. You know what he's saying? Don't let people say to you, you are too young to make a difference. And in fact, the flip side of that would be the same. Don't let people say that you are too old. I am so glad that God doesn't put me in a box. Because people did that. When I grew up in South Africa under apartheid, according to my skin, I had to do only certain thing, skin color. God doesn't discriminate. God doesn't say, you know what, you are so dark, I don't think you can be a missionary. And that used to be a mentality years ago. I didn't come from the right country or I didn't have the right color. But praise God. That he doesn't put me in a box and say, I'm so sorry, you are my child, but I cannot imagine doing that to my children. I say to them, sky is the limit. We live by faith. If God calls, if God says, get out of the boat and walk with me, I'm going to walk on water and do the supernatural. You know what I'm saying. I can stand here the whole day and preach and Terry would not be happy with me. I said, get out of the... But this is what I'm trying to say. Guys in the Bible tried that. Didn't you know that? They tried to communicate the box mentality to God. God spoke to Moses out of the burning bush. Go back to Egypt. And what does he say? He says, I am not eloquent enough. I don't have the right words to say. And God's response is amazing. He says, I've got that covered. You just go and do. You just do what Nike slogan says. Just do it. It's the same with Jeremiah. Jeremiah says, God, I'm too young. And God's response is amazing. Again, God says to him, before I formed you, I knew you. So I put the right words in your mouth. Don't be telling me about age and experience and degrees and all that. You just go and do what I tell you to do. And you can see when these guys stepped out of the boat and stepped and thought outside of the box, amazing things happened. In Madagascar, there's times that I want to be in the box and say, God, but I'm supposed to be there's a certain way that I'm supposed to be doing things. And when I get out of the box, people get saved. People get added to the church. And in closing, I think I don't want to go too because I've got 5 minutes left. So let me just quickly wrap up. It reminded me this morning of this story. And it's a story that I tell a few times. But more than ever this morning, when I saw your altar, God said, this is the story you need to be telling in closing. It was in Madagascar last year. And the pastor, one of a lady pastor, she said to me, please come and preach at my open air service. Don't have a building, but they will have a service. We had it out in the open. And the kids were performing and doing dramas and singing and just doing amazing things. And then I went to preach. And I preached my heart out. And it's while I'm preaching that God says to me, said to me, make an altar call. I said, how do you do that? I'm supposed to have an altar to do an altar call, God. And as I'm preaching, I'm debating with God. I'm now smarter than God, by the way. I say, you, God, this is not how it works. God said, you just do it. So I'm preaching, and I'm doing an altar call. No one comes to the altar. And as I'm preaching, I'm saying, well, I'm just going to put the word out. Then I say, if you are in your house somewhere, or if you are selling fruit somewhere, just for a few minutes, listen to what I'm saying. And I did the sinner's prayer. I said, say after me, Lord, forgive me of my sins. Lord, forgive me. And I waited. Nothing. Nobody comes forward. Nothing happens. I said, Lord, this is your deal. In my heart, I'm thinking, this is a bit stupid. But, you know, this God is God. And it's the week after that that the pastor comes back to me. And she said, thank you. Misotra betsaka. She said, thank you for coming to preach. I said, well, anytime I can preach every week. And I kid you not, every time I go to the church, I preach. She would meet me at the door and say, you're preaching this morning. I said, oh, well, okay, that's okay. And I said, well, thank you anytime, you know. And you know, she said something to me that I said, wow, outside of the box has helped. She said to me, by the way, Pastor, I don't know if you know, as you did the altar call, and as you did the sinner's prayer, six ladies afterward the service came to me. And the six ladies communicated to me. They said, you know, when that message came, it touched our hearts. And when that pastor said, you need to say after me, we said after him, and we accepted Jesus Christ in our houses. And we are here today because we are responding and we want to be part of this church, because this message that we heard, it stirred something within us, and we want to have a relationship with this God that this pastor spoke about. Hallelujah! Yes. And I'm thinking that if I said, no, you know what, I need to have a this needs to be a box, Lord, so I'm not going to do an altar call. Six people would not be added to our family. So I praise God today. I'm going to close because I'm a preacher. I will go the whole day and you guys will not eat. And then you will be angry and not invite us back ever again. Those millers. But thank you. And the Lord bless you as you live by faith and not by sight. As you get out of the box and do amazing stuff here in this area. This is Fort Wayne. That's why you need a wife. You know. Anthony Wayne, isn't it right? At least I know who. But praise God. And as you make a difference for him, the Lord bless you as you make Christ-like disciples here in Fort Wayne. The Lord bless you. Thank you.